Wherefore, holy brethren, therefore, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who is faithful to him who appointed him. Jesus was faithful. Even when we're not faithful, Jesus is still faithful. Thank God for that. But here's what you got to see. Every time that it talks about Jesus, he's also talking about you. Every time that you read about Jesus, that's who lives on the inside of you. His faithfulness now is your faithfulness. You've got the fruit of faithfulness in your life to be faithful to God. Amen. And so he says, consider him. He was faithful to him that appointed him, just as Moses was in all of his house. All right. So he's going to talk about the house of God in verse 6. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Now, let me just say it this way, that if you were to look at a house, let's take your house for a moment and let's think about all the different rooms in your house. And think about that. Maybe how many of you have a storage room? How many of you have that you just throw things? How many of you have a storage closet, a junk closet? You just throw and things build up. And then over the years, and then maybe in springtime, what do? Spring cleaning, right? And so you go room to room to room, cleaning things out. And then one day you go to the dreaded junk closet, junk room, whatever that is. And you just decide, I'm going to just take everything out and just start all over again. But somehow that same junk room becomes a junk room again a year later. I don't know how it works that way. Jennifer says it's my fault, but I can't accept responsibility. Oh, she said, oh, you better. It is my fault. Now, think about your life. Think about your life as there are different compartments. There are different rooms in your life. You know, and most people are trying to live their lives trying to clean out the junk rooms. If you think about it, you go room to room, to your financial room, to your health room, to your mental thinking room, to your family room, to your job room, and we compartmentalize. And so if you think of those as rooms, what we tend to do is we tend to think from the standpoint of, I got to root out darkness out of each one of those rooms in my life, the junk that's in those. And so we go room to room, but somehow we concentrate on this room, and guess what? A year later, we go back to one of the rooms that we cleaned, and it's all junked up again, right? And so here it says that we are his house. The problem is we're trying to clean up our own junk when Jesus has already done it. And so in a way, it's kind of a little bit of an illusion that if we stay in this mindset that we always have junk to get rid of, then we never come fully into the full knowledge of what Jesus has already done. He is faithful over this, my house. Here's what I do is instead of looking at it as I've got rooms that I need to clean out, what I do is I look to the fact that the room, instead of going to a room so that I can force darkness out with light, now what I do is I can go into that room and just use it as a way to reach other people. It's already clean. It's already right. It's already in order because Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord over my body. Jesus is Lord over my marriage. Jesus is Lord over my finances. He's given me all the wisdom that I need. So all I have to look at is that room is already to be used, already to now invite people. Hey, let's come in to this part of my house. Hey, let's come in to this room of my house. You know, there are certain areas in our house that people are not allowed into, particularly my office, because it is so, you know, we stored everything there while we were renovating our house that you can't even get anybody in there right now. But, you know, in my personal life, in my spiritual life, come on in. Because every area is flooded with the love of God. Every area is filled with the light of God. I don't look at certain areas, well, I'm trying to get better in this area. Because here's the thing, child of God. If your starting point If your starting point is that I'm trying to become something, if your starting point is, man, my life is a mess, and I've got a long time before because of everything that I've done, because guess what? Your life didn't become junk overnight, right? And so the baggage that you have carried, and you look at your life based on the baggage that you carried because of your mistakes and because of your bad, your church going, your religious thinking, or because people have hurt you, or because of the pain that you've carried, and all of those things that you're, if you're looking at your life that way, then what you're going to begin to do is you're going to say, okay, now I've got to clean that area up. I've got to go this way. And one day I'll take care of this, and then I'll focus on this. And so we compartmentalize our life and see it room by room by room by room. And that's the wrong starting point. What we have to recognize is you are a house that is filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody say filled.
Filled.
Not one part filled, every part filled. That the Bible says in Colossians 2:10 that you are complete. Somebody say, I am complete.
I am complete.
You are complete in Him. You're complete. See, the shift for me and Jennifer 8 years ago was not trying to obtain, not trying to get to this place, not trying to figure out how to become something, but rather accepting the truth of who God already made me. When we accepted that, I said, you know what? Now I just see myself as already free. I had been trying to get free my whole life. This is awesome. I had been trying to get free. How many of you spent most of your life trying to get free of stuff? Okay. Well, here's the thing. We were trying to get free of something that we had already been made free from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more of, I don't know, I just feel the need or compelled to say this, is that a lot of times.
I hold it. We got people watching by live stream. Hello, live stream people.
A lot of times you feel.
Wait a minute. We're still, let me make sure we're good here. On. Nope, it's flashing. Let's try it again. One more time here. Well, this thing's here. Here, come here, baby.
Come here.
What are you gonna do?
Come here. Here, come here, baby.
So, a lot of times, and this is what I had to deal with me, is because you want to do, talking about the cleaning of the house, and it's got to be cleaned out before I can do this. But because we got ourselves into messes and it was a progressive thing, a lot of times we've made the decision that it's got to be a process or a progressive thing to get out of it before we can do something. The thing about it is you can make the decision that this does not have to take any time at all. Mm-hmm. It's an immediate thing, but you have to make the decision that you're going to make it an immediate thing.
Mm-hmm.
So don't put that timetable there.
Yeah, that's a good word, because what we tend to think so, like here we are in the beginning of the year. And so we're looking ahead towards what's the whole next 364 days, what's that going to look like now, you know? And then with Jennifer and I just turning 50 this year, hey, you're just 49. You ain't got there yet. You're excited about it. You get a whole nother year to experience. Yeah, no, but you know, there is a thought to look at your 50 years and say, what have we done for 50 years? Okay? And now, depending on how you think, or, you know, you're either to the halfway point, you're past the halfway point, whatever that, you know, that thought process is. And so you tend to kind of measure those things, like what Jennifer was talking about, in these long stretches. And so it took me this long to get here. How long is it going to take me? And it's not something that you need to think years, days, weeks, months, but it's something, it's a change right away. Yeah. It's an immediate thing.
That's right.
The day, the moment that I said, I'm going to receive what God said about me, I'm going to start thinking the way that God's told me to think. He says, my thoughts, turn with me. We'll take a look at this real quick. Where he says, my ways are not your ways. And that's in Isaiah. And if you'll take Isaiah chapter 55, in verse 7, this is so awesome. In verse 7 of Isaiah chapter 55, he says, let the wicked forsake his way. Why? Because that's not working out so good for you. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. Why? Because wrong thinking produces wrong believing, produces wrong actions, and produces wrong fruit and wrong results in your life. Let him return to the Lord. That's what true repentance is. Repentance is returning to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Check it out. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Now, there was this great disconnect, this great distance, if you will, between God's way of thinking and man's way of thinking. You can look at the news today. You can look at the internet. You can see how people think. You can look at media. You can look at movies, and you can see what the course of this world is. God doesn't think like that. God doesn't think like our government thinks. God doesn't think like the people that's in control of Hollywood and all that thing. God's ways are way higher than all of that. God's ways are higher than the universities. God's ways are higher than any wisdom that man has to offer. So what he wanted to do was take mankind and elevate him and bring him to a place that he was thinking like he thought. Why? Because we were created in his image.
Yeah.
We were created to be like him in every way, to think like him, to walk like him, to talk like him. And Jesus came to demonstrate that on the earth. And he said, I only say what my Father tells me to say, and I only do what I see my Father do. And he's going to show me even greater works so I can do those as well. His was a life that was created in the image of his Father, but then demonstrated that by walking like his Father. And so Jesus said that when you see me, you see the Father. The question is when they see you, do they see Jesus? Can I be arrogant enough and confident enough to say, hey, when you see me, you're seeing Jesus? That sounds cocky, it sounds arrogant, but isn't that we're supposed to reflect him? We are in him, he is in us. But most people are waiting till they are doing something that is right, or till they've dealt with all those issues in their life that are wrong before they would dare to say. In other words, they want their circumstance and they want their life to look right, to be right in everything before they'll ever dare to say, if they'd ever bring themselves to say, if you've seen me, you've seen Jesus. See, the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus. Jesus reveals the Father. And so we just bear the image of the Son, who bears the image of the Father. It's a beautiful relationship. But your starting place has to be with what God has already said about you. And so what he's trying to do is he's trying to elevate our thinking. Let the unrighteous man forsake his thoughts. Now, here's the problem. The unrighteous man at the time that was written, the wicked, could not permanently forsake his ways and thoughts because his spirit was dead. And so he was susceptible. The only input that he had was not God. The input that he had was the world. And it was flesh, and it was the five senses, and it was what he heard and what he saw. But Jesus came to elevate us for our born-again spirit to be made alive, for us to be born again and to be born into him. And not only that, it says now that we are raised and we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're in him. So even as he said here, as the heavens are higher above the earth, so are my thoughts than your thoughts. There are heavenly thoughts, but guess what? You're there now. We're no longer looking at God as somebody that is so distant and that his ways and his thoughts are so far beyond us because we're down here on the earth. No, our spirit man is connected to Jesus and is sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we are directly plugged up to the vine. We're directly plugged up and getting downloads from the central mainframe in heaven that the thoughts, the data that we needed is not corrupted data. There's no virus that can get into it. There's nothing that can corrupt it. There's nothing that can encrypt it. I'm getting all IT on you right now, but you know, you hear about these viruses and things that'll try to get in and spoil computer systems and render it useless and just corrupt it, garbage in and garbage out. Guess what? You've got the hookup that can't be corrupted in any way. And so his thoughts are now flowing to you through your born-again spirit. Isn't that awesome? Man, this is awesome. Praise God. And so he says, as the heavens, verse 9, are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. And then he starts talking about seed and the word of God going forth out of his mouth, and you shall go out with joy. So we're not going to go on to that. Now let's go back to Hebrews 3, and I want to show you something here. So your starting place is that let me ask this question. If you have computer problems, what do you do? If you can't fix the computer problem, what do you do? What's the first thing you do?
Call somebody that knows they do.
What do you say? Shut down and reboot. Yeah. If you got problems with your phone, what's the first thing you do if you can't get it to fix? You shut down and you reboot the phone, right? Jesus came to shut you down and to reboot you. And you're completely reset, you're completely rebooted to the new operating system, praise God. And so you're not Wendy 1.0, you're Wendy 2.0.
Come on now.
You're brand new. It's a whole new thing. And you got completely rebooted, different. You're wired completely different. You've had an upgrade. Glory to God. You got, you know, when we upgrade computers, what we do, we put in another hard drive, you know, and we start fresh with that hard drive. I'm loving this analogy. I'm an IT guy, you know, and this is what we say in the South here, tickling my fancy. I haven't quite figured out where my fancy is, but it's being tickled right now. So yeah, so we put in, you put in new hard drive, all of this kind of thing. What's one of the other things that we do? What's one of the other things we upgrade? We upgrade our memory. We get more memory. We get faster memory. We get better memory. You have got new memory, a new hard drive, a totally reboot, totally upgraded, totally restored, ready, totally fit now for a whole new. The hard drive's not enough. The memory's not enough because you got to put something on that hard drive, and it's called an operating system. And so the operating system is what allows you to operate correctly. See, some people are still using Windows XP in their computers. Yeah. Some people might still be using Windows 98. But there's new operating systems. Some of them not so good, some of them okay. Windows 8, did not enjoy that at all as an IT guy. Windows 10, it's a little bit better. Windows 7 was my favorite so far. But we upgrade to the new operating system so it lets you do more and better things, right? Same thing with your Apple phone. iOS, where are we at? iOS 12 now, something like that?
Wow.
Yeah. And she doesn't like it. Some people like it, some people don't. Each operating system seems to slow down your phone depending on how old your phone is. You've got a whole brand new operating system. You've been completely rewritten. You got more capabilities, more options, more abilities than you ever had before because of what Jesus has done. And so what you've got to do is you've got to see yourself. You know, it's one thing to have a whole new operating system on your phone, you know, because the problem is when they do a total upgrade on the operating system from 10 to 11 to 12 is they got whole new features. And guess what I got to do? I got to learn the thing all over again. I got to learn the new features. You know, most people just say, just give me the old features and let me just stay there. No, there's new features that it, when you learn it and when you start using it, what do? You're like, you know, I kind of like this. This is pretty cool. This is a neat thing. And so, but if you never knew about the new feature, you'd never be able to reap the benefit thereof.
Right.
You've got a whole new, your new hardware and your new software. Your new hardware, and you got a whole new operating system. That's the Holy Ghost that is writing His laws and His mind and His way of doing things right on your heart, right on that heart drive.
Yeah.
That'll preach too.
Wow.
I'm having so much fun. He's writing it right on that heart drive. I love that. That's Jennifer's laughing. I'm loving this. But this is a great analogy. We can all, you know, some of us could be technologically challenged, but we all understand what goes on, you know, with our phones. So your starting place is you are brand new, not you're trying to become something, but you accept who you already are. Now, check this out. Christ as a son, verse 6, over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence. This is a key. This is a key right here. You will only manifest being the house of God if you hold fast to confidence of who you are. You see that? Whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. We stay in a place of confidence. I am the house of God. I have been made new. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Every area has been redeemed. Every area has been set free. There is new life that is flowing through me. I have new ways of thinking. I have new ways of talking. I have new ways of walking. Scripture in 1 John says, if you say that you abide in Him or live in Him, then you ought to walk even as He walked.
Yeah.
In other words, don't do as I do, but do as I say, or something like that. No, the real testimony to the truth that you proclaim is how it's lived out in your life. If you say that you are in Him, then you should be walking as Him. It's in 1 John. Amen. So, I'm going to hold to the confidence. Well, what if I have a bad day? What if I yell at my wife? What if I yell at my kids? What if I'm just frustrated? What if work was terrible and I just didn't respond in a godly manner? What about that? That's the moment that you just look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know who you are, Mark?
Yeah.
You are the righteousness of God in Christ. You are the dwelling place of God. And you live in Him and you walk just like He walked. And you respond to situations the way He responds. And you love people the way that He loved. And you minister to people the way that He ministered. Because that's who God created you to be. That is who you are.
Amen.
And what are you doing? You're making a decision for 2019 to hold fast to the confidence of what is true about you. See? And what will happen out of that faith, is then now you will manifest Him. You'll manifest the life of God. You'll manifest what it looks like to be the house of God to the rest of the world. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay? Check it out. Verse 7. Therefore, so here's a key. Therefore, as the Holy Ghost says, today, if you will hear his voice. Today. Somebody say today.
Today.
So what I see is that there is an active hearing the voice of God on a daily basis. For me to walk as Jesus walked, to me to demonstrate or be the house that Jesus is, or to demonstrate his house, to be that, I need to be hearing the voice of God every day. I got to be in a mode of saying, okay, God, I'm open, I'm listening. You said I hear your voice, so I do. And he says, don't harden your heart as they did in the wilderness. Okay? Now, let's go on down here to verse 15. He says it again. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as they did in the rebellion. You can hear it, but you can say no to it. Or you can hear it, and you can say yes to it. And that will determine what's going on with your heart. For who, having heard, rebelled? Who was it that, having heard, rebelled? Verse 16. Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now, with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? Now, let's just define for a moment what he's talking about here. He's talking about the children of Israel. God had mightily delivered them. Here's the problem. They were slaves. They had a slave mindset. Okay? They didn't know anything but slavery. A whole generation that only knew what it was like to serve and to be enslaved to somebody else and had to do what somebody else told them to do. And so they come out of Egypt to a place where they're going to be free, but they also got to learn to believe God. They've got to learn to trust God. They were seeing God do works in their lives. They saw the mighty miracles. That wasn't enough to keep them from complaining and murmuring. They saw God show up at Mount Sinai to give them the law. That wasn't enough. They saw manna being given to them daily. That wasn't enough. In other words, God brought them out of Egypt, but could never get Egypt out of them. Their way of thinking, their way of acting, they would never change. And God was trying to bring them into a land that he could bless them, that they would have houses that they wouldn't build, that they hadn't built, that they would have a land flowing with milk and honey. And he was trying to get them there and tried to, even through the wilderness, to set them up for success. This is how gracious he is. The Bible says when he took them to a way like that, like the shortest path would have been to go straight through the Philistines. But he knew that the condition of their heart and the condition of their life, that as soon as they would come up against opposition, that they would flee back to Egypt. The first chance he saw, God saw, he said, so let me do this for their benefit. Let me take them another way that'll give them more time to develop trust in me, to learn about me, and to be their hearts ready and prepared by the time I get them, they come to the land of promise. The problem is they sin. Now, what kind of sin is he talking about here? And this is what we have to deal with. This is what we get the choice to make. Those who sinned. Verse 18, and to whom did he swear that they would not enter into his rest? That would be into the land of promise where they were just going to enjoy life. But it was to those who did not obey. The King James says it this way, but to them that believed not. So, verse 19, we see that they could not enter in. Why? Because of unbelief. It's one of the saddest stories in the Bible. Here's a whole generation, 2 to 3 million people, that after seeing the hand of God over and over and over and over again, that all they had to do was just cross the Jordan and just show up. God said, I'll take care of this. I'll take care of all of it. All they had to do was just simply believe. The only sin that is not taken care of in Jesus Christ is believing in Jesus. Okay? So for the unbeliever, that's the only thing that they're going to be judged on. But we get the opportunity to believe Him every day. And if we choose not to believe in an area of our life, something that He has talked to us about, something He has declared about you, and you say, I just don't believe that, then you have just entered into a sin of unbelief in that particular area. And what happens is you will not enter into God's promise. You will not experience what He has already made available. You will not experience what has already been finished. The promised land was a finished work. All they had to do was just show up, listen. All they had to do was just listen daily. Check it out. As they went from city to city, you know, they go to Jericho. Finally, the next generation, you know, was ready. They were allowed to enter in. They believed God, the younger generation that didn't come out of slavery. So they were ready to believe God, ready to get in there. And so as they went from city to city, they just got instruction from what to do. Jericho, go around the city 7 times, then shout, and the walls will come down. And it's just, and what were they doing? It was a type and a shadow of how we're supposed to live our life. God says, I've already given you the land of promise. For 2019, guys, listen to me. God's already given you your promised land. God has already, He's already prepared great and mighty things for you. He has prepared for you to have an outlet for your gifting. He's prepared for you to experience more. Remember, the last week I talked about let 2019 be a year that you receive His extravagant love. That you are recipients of His extravagant love. That He wants to do more for you in 2019 than He did in 2018. That you need to position yourself to say, okay, God, I'm ready. Let's do this. How do you experience it? It's one thing to talk about what's already been given to you. It's another thing to experience that. Okay? How do you experience it? The same way that the children of Israel did. What did they do? They went in, but they were completely dependent upon God. God said, I've already given you this land. Say, He already gave it.
He already gave it.
Now, for them to possess the land, they had to simply listen to what the instruction of the Lord was for that day, for that moment, for that place. Remember, it says, today, if you hear His voice. Listen to me. Let 2019 be a year that you have committed to hearing the voice of God in your life, that you recognize you start from a place. Father, I thank You that You've already redeemed me. Father, I thank You that You have already set me free. Okay, you start from that understanding. Jesus has already done it. Father, I thank You. And it doesn't matter what's going on. If there's something in your body, if there's something in your finances, if there's something in your marriage, if there's something going on in your life, Father, I thank You that You already have provided the solution and the remedy that I need for this situation, for my job situation. I thank You You've already provided the solution and the remedy that I need for my marriage. Father, I thank You for that. And so you position yourself of thanksgiving, knowing that it's already been provided. You start there. Do you follow me? Okay, and now that you're there and say, Father, I thank You that since I am Your sheep and You're my shepherd, Jesus, I hear Your voice, because that's what Jesus said. My sheep know My voice. All right, that is a statement of fact. Don't be saying, Father, help me hear Your voice. Father, I want to hear Your voice, because now you're putting that into an attitude of, I can't hear Your voice. And that means that you are seeing it opposite from what Jesus has said.
Yeah.
You follow that?
Yeah.
See how our starting place needs to be a recognition of who God created us to be. It has to be an agreement with what Jesus said. All right? And so now I say, Father, I thank You that I hear Your voice. I thank You for that. So for my marriage, Father, I thank You that I have wisdom. Holy Spirit, anything that You have that I need to know about, You talk to me about, and I'll do what You tell me to
That's
do.
Right.
You know, because You've already provided for me a great marriage. You've already provided for me everything that I need. I'm just going to walk that out as You give me instruction. You've already, I do that with healing too. Father, I thank you that you've already provided healing for me. I thank you that by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. Now, Lord, Father, I thank you. If there's anything I need to know, for instance, it could be a change in your diet. It could be that you're eating things that's creating the problem. And so God can heal you, but he can't fix the root because you're still eating the same stuff. And so the problem keeps coming back over and over and over again because you keep feeding into it. And so maybe what you need is you need wisdom and not healing. Amen?
Yeah.
For you. But don't take the revelation that God gives you and says, you need to cut out coffee and start preaching it to everybody else.
That's right.
Because we will pick up stones and throw them at you. Amen. Your personal revelation isn't everybody else's revelation. But this is the beauty of the new covenant. We get to hear the voice of God for ourselves, which I think is fantastic. So as I do that, I say, when I hear it, yes, Lord, I believe. And I take that step. And what happens, the Bible says in chapter 4, and I'm going to close, chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, but it talks about that a promise being given to them, it did not profit them. Think about that. The promise for this whole land, for a whole country, for everything that they ever wanted, for their ship to come in, I'm talking about everything. That promise did not profit them. They never saw. Just because God promised it didn't mean they experienced it.
That's right.
That'll kind of kick the sovereignty of God square in the teeth.
Yeah.
That doctrine. Because God wanted it for them, God called them to it, but they themselves, a whole generation, was lost because they would not believe God. They could have gone in, they could have, but they did not. You got to get out of a slave mentality. You're not addicted. You're not defeated. You're not overcome. You're not oppressed. You're not. What you do is you say, no, that's not who I am. I am now a child of God. Father, I thank you, and I listen to your voice every day, and I say yes. The word did not profit them not being mixed with faith, it says, in them that heard it. You get the word? Your job is to mix faith with it. Believe it. Once you believe it, that believing, if you believe it, it'll spur action. If they believed it, I think they just pulled that up. It would not profit them not being mixed with faith. It would spur them. If you believe something, it'll spur you to action. How you live your life, what you say, and what you do actually is the best indicator of what you actually believe. Okay? So, Father, I listen to your voice. I mix faith with it. And as I do, and allow that to transform my thinking, transform my life, transform what I do, then I start to experience what has already been freely provided to me. I begin to find out and discover what is the what the new features of my new operating system are. I get to start discovering new features and new things. And I get one even better than my iPhone. Instead of asking Siri, I get to ask the Holy Ghost. I get to say, hey, Holy Ghost, what about this? Instead of, hey, Siri. Don't answer that. She don't know. Amen. 2019 needs to be a year that you've committed to hearing the voice of God and saying yes to all the promises and receiving that. And just watch what God does in your life.